Our father looks at us and he goes, yeah, you're an idiot, but I still love you anyway. Oh, thank you, Lord. It's been a good Sunday, guys. I don't know about you, but I'm in a good place. Because God is good. Well, amen. There's no timer, so it's as much time as I need, I guess, is how it works. 6 minutes, Pastor says. Let's just pray and jump into it. What do you say? Father, we give you all praise, all the glory. There was no one like you, God. There's no one as good as you. You are good all the time. You are nothing but good. God, we just love you this morning. We just love to sit here and bask in your goodness and your presence. Because in your presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. I'd rather spend a day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere, God. I just want to be where you are always, Lord. And so this morning, as we spend some time looking at your word and what you have to say to us, Lord, I pray your presence would just be so strong on all of us. God, I pray it would be so strong that no one can even listen to me. They're just listening to you, sitting in your presence. That's what we want, God. We just want to be with you. We love you and we praise you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today I want to talk about the blessing of God. I debated what I should call it, the blessing of God, or maybe every blessing, but really what I'm after, by the time you leave today, if you don't already know this, I hope you do, but I want you all to really understand this idea of blessing, what it means to be under the blessing of God. I want you to understand the extent of the blessing of God on your life. If you're a child of God through Jesus, if that's you, raise your hand and shout amen or something. Amen. Amen. Okay. So if that's you, and it sounds like it is most of you, if not all, then you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. You've been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. Every promise God ever made is yes and amen in Christ. Jesus said it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, and therefore all things are yours. What's more, no curse shall be allowed to rest on you. No evil will befall you, no plague or sickness will come near you, no weapon formed against you will prosper, and no good thing will ever be withheld from you. In case you didn't catch this, everything I just said is scripture. I wasn't just trying to say nice things. I like building you up, and I like saying nice things to you, but I just gave you God's words. These are things you could have read for yourself. You didn't need me. Every one of the things I just said is true according to the Word of God. This isn't an ego boost. I'm not just blowing smoke. This is the Word of God for each one of you. This is truth. We have to get this down in our soul, in the depths of our soul, that we are a blessed people. Some of you are getting it. Let's open to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to jump around a little, but I suggest you just stay in Ephesians chapter 1, so we're going to read a couple passages from there. Ephesians 1:3, hopefully this is familiar to us. I just read it a couple minutes ago, but it says this. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. I'm going to read it again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Let's get a few definitions out of the way. I think probably most of us understand what a blessing is, but just in case you don't, the word blessed means happy, fortunate, or good. It's really not that complicated of a word. So a blessing is anything which genuinely increases your happiness, your joy, your well-being. So a blessing is a good thing that brings joy. Simple enough? Okay. Y'all with me? Okay, good. Just checking in. Proverbs 10:22 says, "The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it." The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow. So a blessing is a good thing that brings joy and no sorrow. Amen. I thought you had a question for a second, but she was just praising God, so that's good. The other thing we kind of miss sometimes when the Bible's talking about blessing is it's not just any old good thing. Good things happen in life, bad things happen in life. It's not chance. It's not luck. It's not circumstance, like it might have happened or it might not have. It's supernatural. It comes from God. The idea is that your Father is working behind the scenes of your life to bring good for you, even when we don't know it. I mean, how good is our God? And even when you're oblivious to it, in your mind, everything's falling apart, and God's just going, oh, you just wait. This is going to get good. First of all, this passage in Ephesians, it says we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Say every. It's one of those words we don't really think about a lot. The definition is all the individual members of a set without exception. Without exception. Nothing excluded or left out. You have been blessed with every, no exceptions, no exclusions, nothing left out. You've been blessed with every blessing in Christ. A couple of you said amen. I thought that was a pretty good place for an amen. No, it's too late now. Can't go back. Not a single blessing has been left out. Every blessing, every good thing that brings joy, contentment, and well-being in your life has been given to us in Christ. Everything, without any exceptions. Psalm 84:11 says, "For the Lord our God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly." No good thing does God withhold. There's no withholding in God. He's not going, well, there's a few good things, but I'm going to keep those for myself. If it's for your good, he's given it to you. Romans 8:31-32 is one of my favorite passages. Most of yours too. "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things?" I want you to think about what he just said. He who did not spare his own son. How precious do you think his own son was to him? Think there was anything higher on his list? And he gave him. And Paul's going, if he already gave the most important thing he had, you think he's withholding anything from you? He He who did not spare his only son, he's not going to spare any other blessing on it. Every spiritual blessing. This is the extent. I mean, I hope you're starting to see this. It's not just God likes to sprinkle little blessings here and there and make us feel good every now and then. There is nothing that is withheld from you if you're a child of God. Nothing. Part of the way we got to understand this too is I think of it in terms of our inheritance. You know, children get an inheritance from their parents, right? Typically the way it works is when the parent passes away, moves on to the children. We're told in Scripture many times that we have an inheritance also through Christ. Of course, the father doesn't die, so we're not waiting for something cataclysmic to happen. He just says, I'm just going to share it all with you. That's what he means when he says you get an inheritance. Jump down a little bit in Ephesians to verse 11. And you'll see Paul, in discussing this whole idea, when he's talking about every blessing, and then he starts to talk about the glory of our salvation in Christ, and then he immediately turns to this discussion of inheritance. In verse 11, he says, in him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who are the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance, until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Here's what he's saying. Through Christ, through everything he did for you, you have an inheritance in God now. You have a share, so to speak, in all that God has. He has things he wants to give you because of Jesus. And the guarantee, the down payment, if you will, of all that God wants to give you is himself in the Holy Spirit. He goes, so here's what I'm going to do. Just to let you know that I'm serious about what I want to give you, I'm just going to move in. I'm going to take up residence in your heart, and day by day, I'm going to remind you. Isn't that one of the things the Holy Spirit does? I'm going to remind you of everything I've said. Day by day, I'm going to remind you. Day by day, you're going to feel my presence. Day by day, I'm going to guide you in the way you should go. Day by day, I'm going to give you that remembrance of what you ought to do. That'll be that voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. He said, I'm just going to walk with you. And all the good things that come because I'm with you, you're just going to have that to an abundance you can't even imagine later on. Amen. So the Holy Spirit is the down payment of this inheritance. So when you look in the Old Testament in Israel, they had this inheritance that they called the Promised Land. That was kind of their idea of like, this is what God gives us. This is the good land. It's a good land. It's flowing with milk and honey. It's going to be ours forever. And it's promised. Like, we don't really have to do much except just God says, go here, and we go, okay. He says, I'll drive out all the nations before you. You're going to live in houses you didn't build. You're going to reap from fields you didn't sow. He says, I got it all set up for you. For us, it's not a geographical plot of land. It's the kingdom of God. I read that one earlier, too. It is his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. That's where our share is, amen? That's the plot of land, so to speak, that we get is in his kingdom forever and ever. Well, the second thing in this verse, in verse 1-3, it says, he's given you every spiritual blessing, but I want to talk about the fact that he says, I've given you every spiritual blessing. Now, we've already dealt with the fact that he said every. So don't think that when he says spiritually, he's going, oh, he's limiting the scope now. He just said every, and it's not like, oh, there isn't any material blessing. It's just the spiritual stuff. Okay. That's not his point in saying that. You know what I think God's point here is? That he wants you to take your mind off of the natural stuff. You know, when we hear blessing, most of us, our mind immediately goes to what? That's it. We think, oh, you know, if I get a nice bonus check at work, what a blessing that was. So we tend to define blessings as these natural, tangible, temporary things. And those can be nice, like money. We think about whatever increases our comfort or pleasure. That's a blessing. But these aren't blessings in themselves. Do you know wealth without contentment or gratitude is a curse, not a blessing? God doesn't have any problem with you having money, so long as you have contentment with it and gratitude, right? Because wealth without contentment, it's amazing. Greed will make you feel poor even if you're rich. And contentment will make you feel rich even when you're poor. So God doesn't really, I love the way Jesus talks about money in the Gospels. His attitude towards money is he's certainly not freaking out about money. But he also, I don't mean to pick on anybody, he also doesn't sound like a televangelist when he talks about money, right? He's not like, you got to believe. Yeah, there's none of that. Jesus' attitude towards money in the Gospels is kind of like, what are you guys so worried about? To him, money's nothing. He's like, doesn't God feed the birds? You're worth more than a lot of birds. He's going to take care of you. Look at the flowers. They're dressed way more pretty than you are. And tomorrow they're going in the oven. God will clothe you. He'll put clothes on your back. Jesus' attitude towards money. Peter goes, should we pay tax? What are we supposed to do? Do we pay tax? Do we not pay tax? What are we supposed to do, Jesus? I don't know. I just talked to these guys and I got kind of freaked out and I told them something and I thought maybe I was wrong. What do we do? And Jesus goes, why don't you go fishing, Peter? When you get a fish, there'll be a coin in the mouth and you can go ahead and pay our taxes. That was Jesus' attitude toward money. So we get all freaked out. And so I don't think when Jesus or when the scriptures talk about blessing, it's focused on these natural, material, financial, this kind of stuff. This isn't the focus. What we should be thinking about when we're thinking about blessings is the things that come through the Spirit of God, things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And if anything, the material blessings that we get are just sort of expressions or manifestations of what's going on in our soul. That's kind of what the Apostle John said in 3 John verse 2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. So he's saying, look, I want you to have all the good things that life offers. I want you to be healthy. I want you to have enough. But he's like, but you're already doing that in your soul. So even if you don't get all the nice stuff that the world has to offer, you're already prospering in your soul. I'd rather every person in this room prospers in their soul than any other way. I want you to have everything. I want you to be healthy. I want you to have lots of money. I want you to be comfortable. I want all of that for you. But what I really want is for your soul to prosper and to be in health. Jesus said you can gain the whole world and lose your soul. So we're not against money all by itself, but the pursuit of money in and of itself is an idol. Same with the pursuit of pleasure or the pursuit of comfort. I don't think God has a problem with any of those things, but all by themselves, when you take God out of the equation, they're not blessings anymore. Scripture says God wants to give you the desires of your heart, right? Does anyone know what the first part of that verse is? I heard it somewhere over here. I don't know who it was. Oh, it was, of course it was Lisa Sharp. She knows the whole Bible memorized, so just go ask her if you need a scripture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. We interpret that passage sometimes like we're hedonist, where we just want to, God's just going to give me everything I want. That's what the Bible says. The Bible said he'll give it to me. No, he said he'll give it to you if what you really want is him. Then he'll see and he'll go, yeah, I know you wanted this for a long time too. I'm going to give you that. When we delight ourselves in the Lord, he'll give us the desires of our heart. You know, I want to close. There were so many ways my mind went with this that are valuable, but as I was just pondering this and praying about it, the story of the prodigal son came up to me. And I thought this would be a good way to close. But I wasn't thinking about the younger son. I think the last time I was here, I talked about the younger son. So I guess I'm just getting the whole thing in there in two sermons. So that works. We all know the story of the younger son, right? He demanded his inheritance. He goes off to Vegas or whatever and spends it all, gambles it, prostitutes, everything like that. Just wastes the money, ends up in a pig pen, comes home groveling, thinking he's maybe got, maybe his father will let him be a servant. But his father is so excited to see him, he runs out to him, puts a robe on his back, ring on his finger, sandals on his feet, throws a party. But the story keeps going after the party. And the older son is out in the field refusing to come in. And the father goes out to him. First of all, I love that. See that the father went to both sons? The one who was a real bonehead. Actually, they're both kind of boneheads in this story. But the younger one who wasted everything, squandered what his father gave him, he ran out to him. And the older son, he was having a party out in the field too. It was a pity party. But he was having his own little party out there. Nobody was invited. But the father came anyway. He crashes some of our parties, doesn't he? But the father goes out to him too. He's seeking all of his kids. Amen? He doesn't care where you are. He doesn't care what you're doing. He just wants you home. And he goes out to the son and says, "What's going on? There's a party." And the son goes, "Yeah, I know." And he says, "You know, I've always been with you. And I've always done everything you asked. And then this son of yours," I love that. "It's not my brother, it's this son of yours." Me and Lauren do that when our kids are acting up. I'm like, your kid's acting up over there. "This son of yours goes and spends all your money, wastes it, and when he comes home, you kill the fattened calf." He said, "You know what? You never even cooked a young goat for me and my friends." And the father turns to his son and he says, "You've always been with me. All that is mine is yours." In other words, you want a fattened calf? Go for it. You could have invited your friends over and had the biggest bash you've ever seen any day you wanted. But my son, who was gone, he's back. You see, the first son squandered the blessing of God. Some of us know what that's like. But the older son wasn't enjoying the blessing. He was still in the house. Some of you, you've been in the house for a while. But are you enjoying the blessing of God? You know, looking out today, I think a lot of you are enjoying the blessing this morning. But maybe that's a thing to ask yourself. Were you watching everybody else celebrating and praising God, and you're sitting there kind of going, "I don't know what they're so excited about. God never did anything like that for me." But the thing is, he did. He's no respecter of persons. What he did for one, he did for another. So you need to understand, you have been blessed with every blessing. What do you need? Talk to God about it. He's not withheld a single good thing from you. Not one. But don't be that son who's out in the field, mad at all the people who are enjoying the blessing, when it's yours as much as it's his. So, I mean, think about it. That older son could have just went, "Woohoo, a party." And that could have been the end of the story. It was just they threw a party and everybody was happy, the end. Sometimes, even when God's doing these great things in other people's lives, because we feel like we've somehow missed, we feel like somehow God hasn't done it for me, or we haven't seen all the stuff we want, we think God has been withholding from me. You give him the fattened calf, I didn't even get a goat. God's given you everything. That son owned every goat, every cow, the fields, the house, everything that the father had. He said, all that's mine is yours. It's all yours. But we want to be people who know how to enjoy the blessing of God. Amen. And again, it's not the natural temporal stuff. Yeah, those things get us excited. We get happy when God meets our needs, and he does it every day. But the real blessing is the life that he gives, that eternal life. By the way, eternal life is not a duration, it's a quality. It's a kind of life. That's why he says, to know God and to know Jesus Christ, that's eternal life. We think when we die here, oh, then eternal life begins. Nope, began the second you knew Jesus. The second you met him, eternal life began. So we want to enjoy the blessing, amen? You guys want to enjoy the blessing? You guys know that you're blessed? What good thing has God withheld from you? Nothing. Guys, we got to understand this. I want to go into a whole other sermon, but I'm not going to. But guys, we got to understand that he has destroyed and broken every curse off of our life. None of that stuff sticks. Can you say amen? I don't care what you came from. I don't care about your family background. I have one pastor I knew who used to say all the time, he said, your past may explain you, but it doesn't excuse you. Might explain some things about your life, but when it comes to the promise of God, it's yours. Every blessing has been given to you in Christ. You've been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. And so I want us to leave here today. I know it was brief and I've gone over too much already, but I just want us to leave with this sense of, man, I'm blessed. Everything I need, God has. We sing that, I think, lately. Everything I need, you've got. There's honey in the rock, right? So we just need to go about our day. Whatever you need from God, you just tell him. And you remind yourself. You go and you read his word. Don't look at your circumstances. Don't look at the stuff that's going on in your life. Don't listen to the bozo who's telling you all the wrong things. You open God's word. You bow your head and you pray. You hear from the Holy Spirit. That's how you're going to know what the truth is. So we're going to pray. I'm going to dismiss you. You know, if you're here and you don't know Jesus, do not leave this building till you come up here and pray with us. We want to pray with you. We want to lead you. We want to show you the way, because there's no one like our God. There's no Savior like Jesus. He'll forgive every one of your sins just because he loves you. He'll make you a child of God, give you eternal life, give you joy and peace you've never known. And even through the hard times in life, he walks there with you. And he'll turn even those things to good, to blessings. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. You are so good. You have blessed us beyond measure. We can't even begin to fathom the depth of the blessing of God on each one of our lives. God, I pray you'd open our eyes that we would begin to see the extent of your blessing. Our vision is so small, God. We don't see it all. We see little glimpses. Every now and then we go, oh, he's such a good God. But Lord, we want to see that every day. We want to wake up and put our feet on the floor every morning and just go, my God is so good. Because we know he's blessed us. We know he's with us. God, I pray you'd open our eyes that we'd be able to see. God, we know we've already been blessed with every spiritual blessing. It's already there. It's already done. You said it is finished. That means there's nothing left to do. The work is over. Now we just get to enjoy all that you did for us, Jesus. And we do enjoy it, God, today. So, Father, I pray just for your continued presence in each one of our lives, each person, wherever they go today, Lord, I pray that your goodness and mercy would just follow them. Stalk them, God, with your goodness and mercy, They feel like every corner they turn, they got to look back because goodness and mercy are coming after me. So God, I pray that we would see, begin to really see all the blessings that you poured out upon us. We love you, God. We give you praise. You are so good.